You know, once I was out of the country looking for factories that will manufacture goods for us so that we could be competitive, so that we'd be able to get prices directly from factories, buying collectively with your monies, with your small monies are put all together, making enough money, or making a sum of money that would enable us to go directly to these factories and buy directly from them and save a lot of money, knock out a lot of middlemen, so we can come back here and be competitive. So I was in this particular country, and I saw boxes and just huge, looked like storage of goods that they had already finished. And I looked closely, I saw Walmart. I saw the name, I said, oh, look here. I said, it's a Muslim country, and they are manufacturing goods for these companies that I buy my clothes from. I didn't buy this shirt from Kmart, but if you see me, you're going to see something most likely that came from Kmart or Walmart or maybe J.C. Penney's sometimes. You know, they say pennies, but ain't no pennies, baby. You got to have some dollars. So I looked at them in the factory because of who we are. See, another thing we have to understand, that when Asian factory owners or Moroccan, African, whoever, when they open up to us, little small people like us, they know we don't have much money, we're small. When they open up to us, then they don't think that it's just you or Imam W.D. Muhammad that they're opening up to. They know the history of this community. They know the history of this community. They know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to achieve, not just the morally, to clean us up morally, but they know he was trying to give us some material establishment. And industrious people, they really value and admire a man from the poor who will stand up for the poor to lead his people to some business strength or to some material achievement in this life here and now. They admire a man like that and value him highly, and those who stay with that man or stay with his idea, they love you and they value you. So the world is opening up to us, not only because we are presenting ourselves with all Muslims of the world and are universal now, embracing the whole of humanity, but they're also doing that, many of them, especially the special friends among them, who will go a little step further and give us even more opportunity than the average one will give us. They're the ones who know not only W.D. Muhammad, but they know Elijah Muhammad. And that's something that we have special. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a great industrious man. Great industrious man. To have achieved what he have achieved with only 3 years formal education, God had to be his co-pilot. Okay. He wasn't flying the plane alone. God was his co-pilot. And I say to you that with what we have now from him, my formal education is more than 3 years elementary school. And because of my father, now I'm educated in the Quran, and in the language of Quran, in the Arabic language of Quran. I'm educated in this. Challenge anybody that want to challenge me. I'm educated in the Quran, not just the English, the Arabic too. Arabiya, Lugatul Arabiya, yes. I'm educated in both because of my father helping and guiding us in that direction. With me now being so disqualified and having also my father's guidance and my father's contribution to our betterment, shouldn't we be doing much more than we were doing under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? But we need men with the spirit of this young man to get it done, and not necessarily under our lieutenant. No, under his own lieutenant, under their lieutenants. Huh? We need more to go. In spirit, we should be one. In purpose, we should be one. And we should love and support the good they're doing, and we should value their leader and the progress he made for their group, just like we expect for them to recognize us. We should recognize them. But we should be in one Muslim spirit, going for one Muslim goal, achievement, here in the United States and in the world, and we should be supporters one of another. And we should pray for the other. We are in a race all together for the best that Allah has promised us. And we should be cheering the Nation of Islam when it's moving fastly on the racetrack. Cheering them. Go on, brother, make it. If we can't get there, we'll get there right behind you, brother. Go on, brother. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. Yes, then we'll be very successful. And the God of us all, who revealed Islam for all of us, will love us even more if we be in that spirit. Now, for the CPC. When I looked at the situation in those facts, I say, well, how am I? Because, I'm a little stupid in the business, you know, dude. I said, I look at myself. I said, I come here thinking I'm going to buy from these factories and take goods back to Kmart, JCPenney's, and Sears. Are they already over here? They buying directly from these factories. So I can't sell to them. I don't buy big like, we can't buy big like they buy, so I can't compete with them. So what do we have to do? We have to do what they're doing. We have to go to the factories and buy for ourselves. And don't sell to them. Don't sell to a wholesaler. Build retail shops. Go back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Build your businesses in your own neighborhood. Build shops that will sell your goods that you bought from these factories, the same way they have stores to sell their goods that they're getting from those factories. So this is our plan. So we have got a strip of land. You don't have much money, but you have to start where you are. You have to begin where you are. So we got a strip of land in a very excellent place in Markham, right in the heart of business, heart of the business area for Markham. McDonald's is at one end of our land. Stoplight is at the other end of our land. We got enough land to put 10 or 11 stores, retail stores, about 5 minutes from the processing plant. So we'll be able to put a steakhouse, seafood restaurant, and several stores and clothing stores that will sell our products that we get from the factories and that we buy from the source, from the farmers, and process at our meat plant, take it 5 minutes to our stores and sell it retail. And the middlemen, all of them are cut out. All the middlemen are cut out. We are prepared to help you anywhere you are in these United States. We are prepared to do our best to help you to open up you a retail store within 24 hours. Within 24 hours. Allah, the Lord God of the heavens and the earth, has blessed us to get land right in front of us at CPC. Many of you have visited us at CPC in Markham. The land right in front of us, we're almost about to close on that land. And that land has two houses on it. If we rehab those two houses, the two houses alone will bring our investors all the money we paid for the land. The two houses alone. But the land is big enough for us to triple our potential to produce products. The capacity that we have now to produce products, meat products, we can triple it by moving, putting a facility right across the street, right in front of the one we have, and still have lawn, beautiful lawn in the front. So when we have our outings on Memorial Day, on 4th of July, whatever, we'll still have land to put our tent up and everything. We are in a good situation. Now, you know, I believe in God, and Moses was supposed to be a man that was not educated. He's assigned to us. Don't think only prophets can do what prophets have done. Prophets are assigned to you of what you can do if you follow the prophet. They are signs of what we can do if we follow the prophet. So a man not much formal education, I don't have that much, but if Moses could do it with a tired tongue, if I follow the way of God behind Muhammad, I will be able to do it too with a tied tongue. And I don't think my tongue is as tied as Moses was. Thank you very much. We're on the move, and we're going to be very successful. Assalamu alaikum. We begin with God's name, who is merciful to us, the merciful benefactor and merciful redeemer. That is, he is merciful to us twice for our life here and hereafter. Firstly, he is merciful to us by creating us in such a wonderful form, the human form, and creating us with a mind and intellect to enjoy the material world, both with our bodies and with our minds, or with our material life and our spiritual life, both. Then he's merciful to us again when we lose the way, run out, and can't see any further how to carry our life where we want it to go. He's merciful again. He gives us revelation, guidance, through one that deserves that special help from God, our Creator. And we are put into a good position again to start afresh with our life and to carry it where our souls want it to go, where God wants it to go. And God has put it in the soul that he created to know where to go. That is, if we clean our minds and heart and have nothing deceitful in us, and be not all for ourselves but for community, God will let us know through our souls where we should take our lives. So we witness that God is one alone, wahdahu, meaning that he does not need anyone or anything to help him manage his creation, all of it, skies and earth and everything therein. He has no partner, no God with him. He's God alone, wahdahu. La sharika lahu. There is no partner with him. If anyone comes to him according to his word in the Quran, he comes as a servant. And we know all of the prophets in Bible and Quran are written as servants of God, including Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and all the prophets and messengers of God. He introduced himself as a servant of God in the Bible. And God says to Muhammad, revealing the Quran for the world, no one comes to him except as a servant, not as a God, not as an equal with him. And he says in the Quran, I need not for you to feed me, God. He slumbers not, he takes no sleep. He feeds and is not fed. That is God, God the Creator. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed over 1400 years ago, is his servant and his messenger. Abduhu wa rasuluhu, his servant, and his messenger. That is our creed. That is our declaration of faith. That our faith is firstly in God, who created everything and made possible all goodness and all good things. Secondly, our faith is in man. When we say we witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God and the last prophet, we are saying that we have faith in God and in man. God requires that we not only have faith in God, but have faith also in man. So it's not good just to believe that we are to look at Muhammad the prophet and see him in his personal life and in his personal life as a prophet or as a human being. He is also for us a sign, as Jesus was a sign. Muhammad is also a sign, peace be upon them. He's a sign that God does not need man to get man where he wants man to go. The whole world can fail human beings. The whole world can fail the soul, the human soul. But that doesn't mean that God is helpless, depending on man to carry the human soul where he wants it to go. When all of their knowledge runs out and can't help us, when all of their creations can't help us, when all of their teaching and preaching can't help us, God can revive the intellect of a human being and lift that intellect up to higher planes, where that intellect will experience revelation on the highest level and coming to a much bigger focus and dimension of his reality. A much bigger focus on his reality and a much bigger dimension of his reality. And God will cause him to come back down off the high level and plane that he lifts them up to with his people on the ground and guide them, revive them, and guide them so they will have what their souls call for. God never did anything stupid. God never did anything that's senseless. Whatever God did is intelligent. Whatever God did makes sense. Understand that firstly. We must respect God. God doesn't do stupid things. God doesn't play. God doesn't stroke himself. He doesn't need that. We need that. We need stroking. So we don't have to believe that they think of a God or believe in a God that needs us to worship him. God doesn't need us to worship him. A God that needs us to thank him. God doesn't need us to thank him. A God that needs us to pray to him and bow down to him, glorify him. God doesn't need that. He doesn't need that at all. But he created us, and we are his creation. And his creation needs to obey the Creator. And his creation needs to acknowledge the Creator. The creation needs to appreciate the Creator. And the more the creation does that, the better the creation is. The better it is. It becomes better and better the more it does that. It is for us that we have revelation. It is for us that we have prayers. That's for us, not for God. God doesn't need our prayers. You give God nothing when you pray to him. You give him nothing. Muhammad the prophet has said, you cannot increase God at any little small bit with whatever you want to do for him. Don't add anything to him. This is what the prophet taught us. It doesn't increase him in anything.
He's already perfect. And when he created the world, he didn't create the world for him to feed on it. He didn't create the world for the world to give him strength. He created the world for man. The whole world, everything, for man. The sky, everything up there. The earth, everything down here. The insects, the smallest thing in creation. God didn't create that for God. God created that for us. Created for man. And man is the only creature that we see finding joy, pleasure, usefulness in everything that God created. Nothing God created is without use to human beings and community life. We have science and industry in Chicago. We have all kinds of insects and things on display, as well as technology. We have the museums to see all the animals. We have courses taught in our schools. But no matter how small the life is, plant or animal, it's of interest to us. Isn't that proof that God created all this for man? Nothing else wants to know about all these things. It's only man that wants to know about all these things. It's only man that seems to bring all these things into his environment, to study them, to ponder over them, to find enjoyment in them. So the world and all things, as the prophet has taught us and prophets before have taught to people, all things that you see in this world or know, can know in this world, created for man. God needed nothing. It's for us. We should first know God as the real God. Then we will have real faith, strong faith, undying faith. Then we'll have interest, strong interest, undying interest in religion. Without these things brought to your mind and conscience, religion for you is like passing through a flower garden. As long as the wind is blowing the beautiful smell in your nose, it's pleasure passing through the flower garden. But there's a stockyard close by, and if the wind changes, you're passing through the flower garden, but you're smelling the stockyard. And that's how religion is for the people of this world. As soon as something bad comes into their nose or into their senses, they lose the good relationship and the good experience in religion. It shouldn't be that way. Your mind should be converted to God.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right. Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.